head to the bathroom. Line up.
Let us pray.
Youth too.
Father God, we just want to thank you for your wonder and your beauty and your grace and your love. You have chosen us even before we were born, even before the whole world was made. You had a decision to show your love and grace in Jesus. We just want to thank you for your choice. There's nothing that we deserve, but you decided to choose us unconditionally. No matter who we are, no matter what you have done, you have saved us in Jesus Christ for those who believe in him to have this life eternal so that we can commune with you, we can hear from you, we can see your vision, we can read your word, and we can follow the path of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for bringing everybody to this place safely this night. This is called retreat. We want to separate ourselves from the cares and worries of the world, and let this weekend be time that we encounter you at a different level than before. And just be with us as we do things together in the unity of the Holy Spirit. We commit our heart to you to be able to truly cultivate the presence of God so that we would be honor and glory to your name. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to a retreat this year. This year, I think what God was leading me was a little bit more practical thing that we may have heard about things, but we have not been able to really develop discipline. Let me begin with you a question. Actually, this question, is it possible to enjoy unceasing communion with the Lord? Is it possible to enjoy unceasing communion with God? Some may say this way, question, answer one, it is impossible for me because I am too busy. There are a lot going on in my life, so it's impossible. That's answer one. And some may answer with this answer two. Answer two, I wouldn't say it is impossible, but it has been very hard because there are a lot of disruptions, even if I have tried to enjoy such a moment with the Lord. And reply number three, it may be possible, and I want such an intimate relationship with God, but so far, I have not got to that stage. But I am interested in how to enjoy unceasing communion with God in heaven. So no matter what would be your answer, you have in mind, Jesus shows that it is within the possibility for us to be in unceasing communion with the Lord. If that is your desire of your heart, I believe God will usher you to fulfill your desire. And if that is your desire, I think this weekend we are going to practice, actually, not just hear, but practice spiritual disciplines. Saturday, the whole three sessions, we have, I'm not going to be the only speaker. We have an invited speaker. my wife, Youngju, will help to cultivate these practices of spiritual disciplines. So it'll be a lot of hands-on and ongoing experiences of those. I think three sessions. We're going to focus on three important things. But anyhow, Jesus said, John 14:11, "Father is in me, and I am in him." Father is in me, and I am in him. Jesus humbled himself to be the container of the Father, container of the Father's holy presence when he came as a human being. He actually departed his glory of heaven and was born as a human being. And he was just like us. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and yet he has no sin. So he was able to develop this spiritual discipline himself to be the container of the Holy Father's presence in his life. And he represented our Father in heaven, and he basically is the image of the Father. And people ask, show God to us, show the Father to us. And Jesus said, "You see me and you see the Father." So he basically represents the holy presence of God as a human being. And this unity Jesus described in John 14:11, "Father is in me and I am in him," begins with the unity of the mind. Basically, Jesus always kept the mind of heaven, the mind of the Father. What is free to operate in heaven, Jesus lived in that realm. And that realm is a realm of holiness, love, joy, and peace, and power. Apostle Paul said, Philippians 4:8, probably some of you memorized that. What is that? "Whatever is true, and whatever is honorable, and whatever is right, whatever is pure, and whatever is of good repute, if there is any anything excellent, and if anything worthy of praise," and he said, "DOTH, dwell on these things." Doth. We're going to memorize a lot of key verses this weekend. So he said, dwell on these things. It's a practice of mind. It's an exercise of mind. Of those things. Basically, Jesus himself practiced that to stay in the realm. The realm of holiness and joy and love and peace and power. So Jesus committed himself to the holiness of God because he loved the God of holiness. And he dwelt to the love of the Father because he loved the Father of love. So intimacy with God, or being in the presence of God, begins with the mind. Our mind. We have to have, we have to cultivate this mind of God. Mind is, we have to have a very good intention. We need to understand, what those are. And intimacy with God begins with the mind of God. And being in the presence of God is having the perspective of God, basically. If we have God's perspective and practice that based on Philippians 4:8, I think we can be closer to the image of Jesus. John 15:5-19, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." So, Jesus didn't act unless his Father acted. And whatever Father acted, Jesus acted. And so basically, obedience. Obedient action is a part of practicing the presence of God. You know, when you say being in the presence of God, you know, we might, you know, try to find out where is God. I want to see God. You know, actually, that's not it. You know, whatever God says, whatever Jesus says, as we acted upon with obedient heart, God's presence is, you know, invited through our action, because we have this mind of the heaven, perspective of God, and mind of Jesus. When we practice that, God is present with us. So intimacy with God, or presence with God, develops with obedience. You know, without obedience, it's impossible to be in the presence of God. It's oxymoron. And what God does not want me to do, I would not do. And what what is pleasing to God, I would do. You know, that is actually the thing that we need to, you know, practice over and over again. Let's skip a few pages so that you can have some rest. I know you come a long way this night. You know, when I go to China, there are many translators. Most of the time I speak in English, and either Jerry, Pastor Jerry, or Jerry's wife Lucy translate my English into Chinese. Both of them are gifted translators. Whenever there's a big rally in Hong Kong, they are the one who are invited to translate the English speakers, like Cindy Jacobs and you know, whoever comes in Hong Kong. They are often invited to translate, and they are very gifted, the people, both of them. And sometimes I speak in Korean. I don't know why I speak in Korean, actually. Let me think about it. Yeah, because they were not there. You know, most of them are not there, so I had to speak in Korean. And Pastor Kwok, who is a missionary from Korea, he translates Korean into Chinese. And then oftentimes I speak in English, and he doesn't understand English. So he said, you know, I get confused. But anyhow, he's also a gifted translator. He's amazing in Chinese. He loves Chinese people, and he spent probably last 20 years in China. And I heard that his proficiency in Chinese is amazing, just like a native speaker. Anyhow, when I translate, they stood at my side, and you know, they allow my words to come through them. You know, they are not at liberty to embellish or subtract. They are very faithful to word by word translation. And when I gestured, they gestured. And when my volume increases, they did too. So when Jesus walked on earth, Jesus was basically translating his Father all the time. As John 14:11, Jesus said, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and I am, Father is in me." He was basically translating his Father. He represents his Father. And whatever Father's mind tells him to do, he did. And whatever our Father said not to do, he didn't do. That's why he was tempted in every way, just like us, and yet he did not commit any sin. You know, when he is tempted, he just chased away those, source of temptation away, so that he can be in the presence of God. You know, once I was in the airplane, I kept hearing outbursts of laughter. The guy sitting in front of me. And actually, I remember that the flight was turbulent and bumpy. You know, when you know, the airplane is bumpy and turbulent, what do you do? Pray? Yes, actually, sometimes it's just, you know, it's an amazing experience, right? You know, that's not the most pleasant experience, so to speak. And you may pray that, oh man, you know, God, please help me that this plane goes through this turbulence. And when the flight was turbulent, hardly there is no reason for humor, right? But some fellow in front of me was cracking up. He was just cracking up. He was laughing like, you know, crazy. I said, "Oh my, you know, what's going on here?" And you know, I kind of looked through, you know, look front of me, and then he was actually having his you know, headgear and was watching comedy. I don't know, maybe this Bose whatever headgear, they even silence the turbulence, I guess. He just laughed and laughed and laughed. Because he could hear what I couldn't, he acted differently than I did. He was living in the realm of comedy, in the presence of turbulence and, you know, this shakiness. The same was true to Jesus, because he was able to hear what others couldn't hear. He acted differently. Pharisees couldn't hear what God is saying to them, but Jesus was able to hear what God is saying to him. That's why Jesus acted differently. Because Jesus always tried to cultivate what Father is speaking to me, what Father want me to do, what Father want me to think. That's how he cultivated the presence of his Father all throughout his life. You know, when people are troubled about the man born blind, people wonder why this man was cursed by God. They just assume that God cursed him because he was born blind. But Jesus said, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." And Jesus healed him. You know, Jesus has a completely different perspective looking at this born blind man. And, you know, God intended to show God's power. And that's why he looked at him and Jesus healed him right there to display God's power. That's the perspective of Jesus. Jesus has a very different the mind than the rest of us. And when everyone was troubled about Lazarus, he died, right? But Jesus wasn't. You know, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God to bring glory to the Son of God." So Jesus always have this perspective of heaven, eternity, as the Father is the giver of everlasting life. No one believed what Jesus said. To Jesus, death is a gateway for heaven, for the people of God. That's how he looked at death. So there's nothing to be said about death itself of the faithful. It's a gateway to heaven. So he had that perspective, which is based on the revelation from God. He not only wasn't afraid of a death inflicted upon him, he went through because it was Father's will. And God let him suffer for 3 days and then resurrected him by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's about Jesus. You know, we said that, that's Jesus, Son of God. You know, Jesus is special. Jesus is anointed. He's a Messiah. So he was able to be in the presence of the Father. Yeah, we all agree that. You know, I would support that. But what about us? Do you suppose the Father desires the same for us as he did to his own Son? The answer is absolutely. Absolutely. Romans 8:29, we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are predestined. You know, it is God's will, even before the foundation of the world, that we would become like Jesus. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So it's God's will that we become like Jesus. So God wants us to be in His presence as His Son had been. Let me tell you one thing. God loves us, right? You know, even before the foundation of the world, God chose us to be His family members, to share, to be the co-heir with Jesus, to share the eternal treasure in heaven, in Jesus Christ, for those who believe in Him. So God's love never changes. God loves just the way you are and I am. That's why God loves the sinner. But He refused to leave us just that way, just to be born again. A lot of people, think that born again is an amazing thing they achieved. But actually, we didn't pitch anything to be born again. It's a completely work of Jesus. When Jesus said, "It is finished on the cross," when you believe what Jesus did, it's given to you, it's a gift. So we didn't add anything. We just received the gift, eternal life, salvation, because of God's predestination, God's choice, us in Jesus Christ. But God refused to leave us that way, to just be born again and go to heaven. That's not the purpose of God, why He saved us. God wants us to be just like Jesus. That's the purpose why He saved us. God desires the same abiding intimacy with you and me that He had with His own Son. That's Father's will, relationship. A lot of people say cliche, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. I think that's not a cliche. It's actually exactly what the Bible talks about, exactly what Jesus practiced, exactly what Jesus wants us to have, this relationship with His Father through Him. So what Jesus achieved, the presence of God, is why we are made for, and why we are here this weekend in the retreat, find ways to cultivate God's presence in our life. Does unceasing communion seem daunting and complicated? Yes? How can I do that, right? Life is difficult enough. Why this pastor try to add more? Some of you kind of wonder, right? But let me tell you this thing. God is not burden giver. Actually, God is burden remover. If we are in the presence of God, actually, our burden is removed. It's not something that God is adding more weight on us. Actually, God lifts us up, set us free, bearing those burdens out of our life when we are in His presence. And God intends that unceasing prayer lighten, not heighten our load. God's purpose is not to give more burden. God knows that we have enough burden, we have enough cares of this life. He's inviting us to lift us up so that we are in the right position that God intends us to be. So unbroken communion with God is the intent and the will of God and not the exception. Someone say that, those only for those people who are devoted, very few people in the world, like Maria Teresa, and they always give those names. But actually it is intent and will of God for all His people to grow into just like Jesus. So now question is how to cultivate the presence of God. This is a big question. How to cultivate the presence of God? The answer is through the spiritual disciplines. Have you been to gym, fitness center? What I was doing was going around the machine, right? Kind of do few you know, maybe 5 times or 10 times, and you know, move around those the what is that called, machines, so to speak. And someone told me that, oh, that's not the way you develop your muscle. You just do one machine over and over again until you cannot do it anymore. Like do maybe 20 times. My normal weight is about 90 pounds weight, whatever, you know, this thing or, you know, this thing. And do it like 20 times and then rest a little bit and come back and increase the weight maybe 10 times and rest a little bit and then come back, increase weight until I cannot do anything. So, and actually I did this week, Tuesday, I tried to do that, and I just one machine, stick onto one machine. I spent about maybe 25 minutes. You know, when I went home, I felt, you know, oh, that's the right thing. I feel it. You know, I was going around different machines like 5 times, and, you know, I feel good, but actually I didn't develop any muscle. That's the wrong way. Why am I telling this? Okay, spiritual discipline. Yeah, discipline is very important. You know, if you just random, my weight training was more or less random. You know, there's no, you know, right way. I just go around it and then I feel good, but it didn't do any good for my, you know, physical body. So spiritual discipline, we need spiritual disciplines for our spirit, spiritual life. And spiritual disciplines are the means of grace. You know, God's grace is like electricity, okay? We cannot generate God's grace. We cannot generate electricity, right? We cannot create God's grace either. But what we can do is, as I just flipped the switch after worship, and we have this light, this beautiful light around this wall. So that is something that we can do, given that there is electricity. Given that there is God's grace, what you can do is flip the switch for electricity. We can do the same thing for our spiritual life. But we have to understand God's grace is already available. The wind blows. And when your wind blows, what do? You set sail, right? And then, you know, cruise it, right? You know, the switch is a means that let us enjoy electric light. And likewise, spiritual disciplines or means of grace are our ways to live in the power of God's grace. But again, it's not random exercise. A lot of people said, oh, in spirit, I have freedom. I don't have to do this thing. But actually, you know, someone that, you know, we invite some speaker, and I ask that speaker to give five topics, please. And then when he came, and he was just random, just off. So we don't invite him anymore. Because in God's spirit, we are free. And he was free to say whatever Holy Spirit speak to him to say. I mean, that's actually, there are times that we can do that. You know, I don't limit the freedom of Holy Spirit. He can do that. But for people like us, you know, it's not going to work that way. So we have to have some kind of discipline. And 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Grow in the grace. So we are called to grow in the grace. That's the key, right? It's not out of the grace. We have to be in the realm of God's grace. God has given this electricity already. His Holy Spirit is with us already. It's just a matter of for us to turn on and then recognize it and then cultivate this growth. And God never intended us just to receive the gift of salvation. As Peter put, we are to grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior. Spiritual disciplines are the means of God's grace by which we can grow, we can cultivate the presence of God. And 1 Timothy 4:7, Apostle Paul said, train yourself for godliness. Let me translate that in Korean because some people here, 경건에 이르기를 연습하라. How do you say in Chinese? Train yourself in godliness. Train yourself for godliness. Okay. How about Philippine? Filipino? Philip? Train yourself for godliness.
I'm not a good translator.
Okay. Yeah, so this is Paul's charge to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. And he said, train yourself for godliness. Train is practice, exercise, right? And this is not just one time. Keep training. Keep training. Keep training. Like same machine over and over again until you cannot pull any weight. That's how I develop my muscle. In the same way, we need to train for godliness so that we develop the spiritual discipline. So we need to train ourselves for godliness. So we need to develop spiritual disciplines. But this is always, Jesus is always the end of spiritual disciplines. Because Apostle Peter said, grow in the grace. And that so the source of grace is Jesus, right? So the great end of spiritual disciplines or means of God's grace is to know and enjoy Jesus. It's a fun thing. You know, when you develop your muscle, it's kind of a fun thing. You know, you can actually pull more weight as you kind of, you know, when I started, I was not able to even 50 pounds. You know, this thing? I don't know what do you call? Yeah, that, when I started, oh my goodness, just even 50 pounds, I couldn't do. But as I keep doing, now it's much better. Maybe 90 pounds, and you can see that record keep growing. So you can see that your muscle is being built. In the same way, it's kind of fun, right? But our spiritual discipline, the end of developing our spiritual discipline is to enjoy and know Jesus. So it's a fun thing. It's supposed to be a great thing. Once we get into that, once we hooked into that, we cannot get out because there's nothing more satisfactory than being in the presence of Jesus Christ. And to be like Him, to think like Him, to act like Him, to become like Him. That's an exciting journey. But we need to develop this discipline. We cannot just let Holy Spirit just touch me, while we're not doing anything. So what are the specifics of spiritual disciplines? I have one more page to go. So bear with me so you can have some rest this night. I think the most important discipline in my view is hear God's voice, basically word, scripture. So we are going to learn how to do quiet time. with the Lord, with the Word of God, and also prayer. So tomorrow morning, we are going to learn how to do devotion in the right way. And, you know, quiet time is still the hardest discipline for many Christians. You know why? Because life is so busy. And but this is the discipline that we need to really cultivate daily. Just as we need to eat food daily, we need to have this quiet time daily, and it's going to be enjoyable once you know how to do it. And your time will be increasing and increasing and increasing. And meditation of word, quiet time, but also Bible reading. I enjoy a lot on Bible reading. I've been reading different translations over the last maybe 10 years. I kind of went through different translations, you know, NIV, NASB, ESV, ASB, Message Bible ones, and there's a Korean Bible. There are two translations. One is easy one and one is older one. Actually, I begin to forget about Korean languages, so you know, I decided to read in Korean Bible. It looks very fresh. And I know, you know, Steve read Bible in Greek. We're supposed to read it, but it's hard. But anyhow, so it has been, you know, enjoying different translation. You know, I've been using this NASB for many years. I think this one is, let me say here. Yeah, I think we bought this. This is actually Youngju's Bible. I think we bought in New Jersey 1985, somewhere around there. Okay? So I've been reading this, you know, over and over again, and then, you know, I feel like I know the whole Bible when I read this particular version, this particular Bible. So I decided, you know, try different thing, and then I think I try after this ESV. You know, it looks completely different Bible. You know, no mark on it. You know, so I feel like I'm a beginner, and I think Bible has that much depth. Although you know one translation doesn't mean you really know. So I have not been reading this particular Bible. And I was reading different Bible. But anyhow, Bible reading. If you give God three verses a day, you know what you can do? You can read the entire Bible in a year. And, you know, in New Jersey, I think I said this many times, those people who come from New Jersey, there's a radio station, right? What is that? Give us 22 minutes, we will give you the word. Do you remember that? Is that Bible station still there? Every 22 minutes, they repeat the news, the world global news. So once you listen 22 minutes, you know what's going on. That's amazing, the radio station. And if you give God 20 minutes a day, you can read the entire Bible in a year. And Bible memorization is very, very you know, enjoyable practice. I know some of you already recite Bible verses and so on, but we are going to learn how to do it better, how to quickly memorize. There's a tip. You know, if you try to memorize, you know, word by word, it's very difficult and you forget quickly. You know, Philippians 4:8, the one that I just memorized for you, I just did it this afternoon with the method that I learned. So within 10 minutes, you can get it. And I never was able to memorize the Bible verses without, you know, slight mistake. Always some mistake. But with this method, there's no mistake. You can, you know, memorize it and never forget. So there's something good coming tomorrow morning, okay, tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. And Bible study is another one. And studying, you know, and preaching. You know, there's another means of grace. And prayer, you know, have the ear of God. That's a prayer. listening to what God says and speaking to Him through supplication. Prayer, I think, is again not easy discipline. And praying together also even harder. When you are married, praying together is actually what Satan tried to keep you from doing that. You know, have you tried praying together? If you are praying together now, I think that's a great thing. You know, that's an amazing thing as a couple, pray together. So we're going to learn how to pray together as well. No? Okay, maybe not. And also, you know, I think solitude is a good thing, right? Pray alone. That's a, we cannot compromise that time, but I think pray with people. That's also amazing spiritual discipline. Don't miss out the prayer meeting, because I think it gives a different types of blessings, which is different from small group, which is different from worship, and so on. And belonging to the body, a body of Christ, corporate fellowship and worship is another important spiritual discipline. Do you know that? It might be most enjoyable, right? Just eating together, dining together. We're going to have five meals, Sunday morning. We're going to have 5 meals together during this retreat. That's actually a great ways to develop spiritual discipline. Do you have you heard of eating alone these days? In Korea, I think there is a word called honbap. That means eat alone. You know, a lot of people eat alone. There's nobody around. And a lot of people live alone and eat alone. That's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing. So as a Christian, as a body of Christ, we need to eat together and enjoy this fellowship. But also corporate worship and praise, we just did, right? That's actually discipline. We need to cultivate being, you know, more and more in that corporate worship. And communion. You know, we do once a month, right? Communion is actually, we do it together. It's a spiritual discipline. We are getting into the presence of God by doing it together. And having activities together. Fellowship. Tomorrow we're going to have some volleyball if weather permits and so on. You know, being with other people in the fellowship, that's very important spiritual discipline to develop, especially these days. During this retreat, we are going to develop practical ways of developing spiritual disciplines together. And again, the purpose of developing spiritual discipline is what? It's a quiz time. What is the end? What is the purpose of developing the presence of God or spiritual discipline? Huh? What?
It's the only answer.
What? What did you say?
The answer to everything.
Huh? Jesus. Exactly. To know Jesus and enjoy Him forever. Because the means of grace points us to the source of grace, right? So spiritual discipline is means of grace, right? But what is the source of grace? Jesus is grace, right? Jesus, hence it's Jesus. So we are saved to be the friend of Jesus by loving Him and enjoying Him. So it's a journey. It's a making relationship. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your presence here. And we invite Your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that testifies Jesus. And let this weekend be the time that we spend together in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to know and love Jesus more and more, so that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in this life. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the ultimate example, and you are so great. You know, whatever you think is just amazing. You always think right, think pure, think of good repute, and you always speak of the truth. And we love you, and let us grow knowing you more and more, just to be like you at the end of our journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.